is. And they actually show us, they equip us on how to do life and how to build this house that represents our life. And yes, unfortunately, sometimes the people around us doesn't necessarily build on the rock. They don't necessarily make the choices in their own life to build a durable house that lasts. They sometimes build on the sand. And then, unfortunately, that's the example that we see. So what do? We then build on the sand as well. For many years, I built on the sand. For many years, I went along with what I saw, thinking, hey, this is a good example. It's the only example I had. And here and there, I might have used some good choices or materials along the line, trying to fix something that went skew by putting in a rock or some reinforcement. But then one day, I realized, shucks, I was building on the sand. And as we sang that song, as the rain comes down and the floods come in, what happens to the house standing on the sand? It gets washed down. And then what should happen then? We're going to build it again. And most likely, the majority of times, we build it on the sand again. Because it's quick. We can quickly we don't need to dig the trenches. We don't need to lay foundations, wait for the concrete to dry. We can just start building. Just lay down a few bricks there and put on a roof. It's quickly. We can fix it quickly. And that's what the world around us tells us. Like marriage. Marriage became a quick thing. If it's difficult, it's okay. Just clock out, get remarried. School, okay? If we went through school, some of us still need to go through school, and some of us have little ones in school. In school, the world tells them, if it gets difficult, just clock out. Clock out. Leave. You only need grade 9. I mean, that's the whole system. Or when it comes to subject choices. What everyone goes, oh, no. My kid can do mathematics. So they're going to do mathematics. And then the kid doesn't like it. They don't even need it after school, whatever the case might be. And go and get stuff. What happens? Oh, no, I'm going to change to the easier one. It's not about the easier one. Because what's going to happen? What are you teaching that child at the end of the day? You're teaching him or her to quit quickly. As soon as the going gets tough in anything in life, we just quit because there will be a quick fix around the corner. And that's what happens when we build on the sand. We actually get trained and we get a mindset of, it's okay if the flood comes, and it will probably wash away the house. It will be great if something still stands afterwards. But if it doesn't, we're just quickly going to fix it. We're quickly going to try and patch it up again, or even rebuild it quickly. Instead of building on a good foundation, building with good materials, building something durable that will last. And in our lives, what does that look like? It means that whenever I make a choice, I make an insightful choice. I make sure that I have... I'm going to take a practical example out of my own life. If I ever have to buy a car, I will have to speak with a bunch of you guys because I know nothing about cars. Like, I know four wheels, steer the wheel, engine, that's it. Okay. I don't know much about cars. So I will need to get some insight. And I will need to be guided. In other places of my life, I might not be an appy anymore. But when it comes to buying a car, I'm definitely an apprentice. And the going gets tough for all of us. Life happens around of us. All the way from school up until we die one day. And that's throughout all the stages of life. In school, so much schoolwork. Oh, I can't get to everything. I've got schoolwork. I've got sport. I've got this and that. I've got all the assignments. I've got the exams coming up. I've got so much stress on me for my grade 11 exams, whatever the case. After school, if you go and study, oh, so much. Can't handle all the stress. And then you go to work. And then life happens in work. You get married. And then you realize that it's not always sunshine and roses, even in a marriage. That feeling you had when you started dating is not there anymore. What happened to that? Then there are kids, and there's chaos in the house. Ladies, this one might be a little bit more for you, but everything is not on their places anymore. There's always dishes. That's life. That's life happening. Okay, and some of you might go like, oh, but that's not really a problem. For you, it might not be. But let me tell you, for certain people, that's a big thing. For things being out of place. For things not happening as it is supposed to happen. Nothing in this life has it supposed to. But we have a choice on how we're going to deal with it. And we've got a choice if we are building our life on a rock that's durable, that will last. Then those things will come in. The rains will come in. The floods will come over us. But building on the rock, we will last. We will keep on standing. We might have a ding chair or like a, oh, that was not like a, some water flowing through the house. Some carpets that need to be replaced. That happens. Christian, being a Christian isn't all sunshine and roses. It gets difficult for Christians as well. But we have a master builder. So as an apprentice, we have people around us that can guide us. It's called, so in your own life, you're an apprentice. But in someone else's life, you actually might be a, what did I write here? A project manager. In someone else's life, you might be the builder or the electrician or the plumber for them. The person that they can come to and speak to and get advice from. But in your own life, you're the appy because you don't know what you don't know. So we need to grow and grow and grow. And the reality in church, as all of us are sitting here together, we are anything from builders to plumbers to electricians, busy building our own house, but also helping one another building our houses. But there's one architect. There's one master builder, and that's Jesus. And in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 to 11, we read about this. No, not Chronicles, sorry, Corinthians. If we can quickly get that up. One Corinthians 3, verse 10 and 11 says the following. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care of how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He needs to be our foundation. He needs to be the one that we build on, also called our cornerstone. And we don't really know much about the life until we get to know it. But we've got people around us that can help us through that. And this morning is word of loving one another. Of how do I love more? How do I love like Jesus loved? Like maybe you struggle with that. Maybe that's one thing where you've been building on sand. Or maybe that's one way that the managers in your life, the project managers in your life, has showed you how to love, but they showed you how to love building on sand instead of how to love building on rocks. Again, it's life. Okay? I come out of a household where I grew up with only my mom. My dad had no contact with me. That was building on sand. It was the situation. It was circumstances. But that was building on sand, unfortunately. But a few years back, I can almost say many years back. It still sounds, if I say many, it sounds too long ago. A few years back, I learned that I was building on sand when it comes to, well, who is my father? Oh, my father neglected me. Oh, my father didn't reach out to me. He didn't phone me on my birthdays. He didn't have any contact with me. That was the building on sand. And I had to realize, man, even if my worldly father dropped the ball, my father in heaven will never, ever drop the ball. And I had to break down. I didn't wait for the flood to come in. I started breaking down that house. I started breaking down that little piece of me that was built on sand there. I said, Lord, if you're my father, I know that you're perfect. And I started building on rocks. What does it mean to love like him? We are people. We are men and women. Men and women. We are person, people. Okay. What this means, we're gonna drop the ball somewhere. Don't be hard on yourself about it. It happens. But get up again. Build on the rock. And make sure you get to the master builder. Surround yourself with Christians that has been walking with the Lord so that they can show you how to build your house on the rock. In Psalm 118, verse 22, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, or otherwise known as the cornerstone. Speaking about Jesus here, Jesus actually then uses this same verse, and we read about that in Mark, Matthew, even in John. You can go and read that. Jesus needs to be our cornerstone. And then actually getting to the scripture of this morning, Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain can come, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. That's verse 27. The difference between building on sand, building on rocks. And even as an epi, we've got the choice of being a wise epi or being a foolish epi. Being a wise epi is choosing who you surround yourself with, choosing who you're going to follow, who are you going to, may I use the word, appoint in your life as your project manager, as your electrician. Who are you going to appoint or give the responsibility to of discipling you? We need to be discipled so that we can disciple. And at verse 26 says, can we put up 26? I don't want to paraphrase here. Who hears the words of mine and does not put them into practice. What words? This word. It's not a puzzle. It's straightforward. This is the word of God. And the word of God is quite straightforward on how we as Christians can live. Next week, we'll dive into a little bit more depth of the do's and the don'ts. But this morning, I want to carry over the message of, are you actually, first of all, do you realize that you're an appy in life? No matter how old you are, you're still an appy in your own life. But you've got people around you that can help you. There's one thing I want to highlight for us this morning in James 1, verse 23 to 25, just to show you of what the word tells us about what to do or not do. It says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror. After looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intentionally into the perfect law that gives freedom, speaking about the word again, and continue to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. So, if you read the word, I'm going to take this morning as an example again, that word of we need to love more. That's not it's a cute thing to say or a nice idea or it's a Josh Jane thing. No. That's a God idea because it comes from the word. Jesus walked with his disciples. Now, how on earth do you walk with your disciples if you don't love? He loved his disciples. He loved the people around him. It's a God idea. It's God's principle. And in your own life, make sure you live by the instruction of the Lord. If you're unsure about a certain topic, if you're unsure about how to deal with your finances, how to love people, some unmarried people here, your couples, how to be a Christian if you're dating or courting. Those are topics that we sometimes struggle with. But it's the topics of life. Those are the parts that we use when we build this house. And those are usually the things where the storm comes in. Financially tough. Flood. It's difficult in our relationship. Sure, Michael, can I use you guys as an example? Sorry, I didn't ask you beforehand. His wife got a job all the way down in Worcester. He's working it out until he can go to her enough. Next month, September, almost there, 5 weeks. Four and a half. Man, long distance relationships. I'm sorry to say this. It's not from the Lord. This was a situation that we prayed about and we are trusting with them. And we are standing with them. But long distance relationships, I don't believe it's from the Lord. Definitely not. That's another place where a flood comes in. Saw it this week, my own family. Sister, Cape Town, boyfriend, all the way in America. It's not working. So what? Now she has a choice on how to react. Now, that little piece of her house gets tested. Is it built on rocks or is it built on the sand? I can testify for her. It looks like it's built on the rocks. And I praise the Lord for that. But just know, all of those things that we sometimes don't want to talk about, those are the things where the floods will come in. It will. It won't happen to me. It will happen to you. Definitely. It happens to all of us. It's life. It's where the enemy steals from us. I want to land on that, actually, just... There are probably more. But while I was in prepping of this message, two lies that the enemy uses so often to to come and steal, or actually, I want to say, break open a piece of your house so that the flood can come in and destroy everything, is you can't change who you are. Or you don't need to change who you are to be a Christian. Man, that's a lie. And I'm saying that with so much confidence because the scripture tells me that Jesus, God, wants us to change. I'll prove that. Obviously, I'll back that with scripture. I won't ever say something so confident if I don't have a scripture. Romans 12 verse 2 says the following. It's very clear. It's like, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. What else is that than change? Be changed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. We need to change to look more like Jesus. When we were born, we definitely didn't look like Jesus. When you were 2 years old and 4 years old, you definitely didn't look like Jesus. Mine is 2 and 4 years old. They definitely don't. They look, let me look more like Jesus some days, and some days I don't. But, but we need to look more like Jesus. He wants us to change. He wants us, and not just change, because change can be to the pattern of this world. But He wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It's a whole mindset that is changed. For me, for 7 years, walking with that mindset of, I don't have a dad. Walking with that mindset of, you know, and that's probably why birthdays isn't a big thing for me, to be honest, now that I think of it for the first time. Because my dad never phoned me on my birthday. My dad never phoned me on Christmas. Hey, son, Merry Christmas. I'm sending you a gift. Those days were still post office, so probably got lost in mail. And then a few years later, he passed away. Never really got the chance. But that's the enemy stealing. Don't worry, please. My identity is not in that anymore. And I know that is not what a father should look like. And I know that that's the enemy that came. And he didn't just steal from my mom and my dad there. He stole from me as well and my brothers and sisters with that. That's what he did. And I recognize that. But my mind is renewed on how to love, on how to care for my kids. Even when, man, I mean, the kids there in that space, the kids outside, all of you have kids. I love your kids. Guys, I love your kids as if they're my own. Really, I do. And I know that's a foreign concept because we are so self-centered these days. The world tells us, look to your own. Like, just make sure that your everything is in place. If you get to my house now, blocks will be lying around. Kitchen won't be tidied up. It's people live there, you know. If you don't know what a house looks like where people live, come to our house, I'll show you. If you don't know what a house looks like with little ones in it, come to our house, I'll show you. It's life. And I'm not gonna, we don't put up this front of, oh, it's, you know, perfect house, perfect marriage. No. Life happens. But I'm building on the rock. My cornerstone is Jesus. So when the flood comes, it will stand. And by the renewing of my mind, I will be changed. And I will be following to the best that I can the will, the perfect will, which is God's will. And as believers, we need to change. And we need to change from the inside out. Loving people more isn't boxes. There are no boxes. There's no checklist. Ooh, I've had people in my house this week. Oh, now I'm loving more. Check. It's not, oh, I've prayed for someone, check. Oh, I've sent someone a message, check. That doesn't exist. Those are, I don't know what you call that. That's a checklist. Loving people comes from inside. You are changed from the inside out, not from the outside inwards. You're not going to. So you need God to come and change the way you love. And we need to look more like Jesus. And if this is a foreign concept for you this morning of, I need to change. If this is a foreign concept for you of, how do I change? How do I let God change me from the inside out? If you're unsure about that, that's one of those topics that I referred to previously of get people around you so they can pray with you and walk it out with you. So I want to invite you guys. Don't leave it as a foreign concept. Speak to someone. Get taught in the ways of the Lord. We all can get taught. Man, I still get taught. Just because I'm standing here with the mic doesn't mean I know how to. Certain things in life I've started learning. Started. Nowhere in my life I think that I've made it. Not even close. I still have a lot to learn. And I can still learn a lot from all of you that sits in front of me here this morning. And it excites me because it means that I can do life with you guys. From loving my children, raising them well, to buying a car one day when I need to. Anything that life throws our way, we can deal with people around us. Don't get isolated. Get into one another's houses or lives, not just houses, lives, doing life together and speaking about the real stuff of life, not just the rugby, not just the weather. I hope it makes sense, the message that I tried carrying over this morning of we need to assess, are we building on the rock or on the sand? And the parts of us that we are building on the sand, we actually need to break that down, bring it over, start building that on the rock. Let's close our eyes. Lord, thank you that you are our rock, our cornerstone, Lord. And this morning as we sit in front of you, as we just open up our hearts, we go, Lord, come and change us. Come and change us from the inside out. While you're changing us, show us where we are building on the sand. Show us which parts of our house, our life, is built on the sand so that we can break that down and start building it on a firm foundation. So that we will be called wise men and wise women. We won't be foolish and be swept away by the winds and the rain of the world. I ask that you would come and that you would minister to us, that you would lead us to a place that the Holy Spirit will speak to us, that we will build a durable house, a life that stands firm because we're building on your foundation, Lord. And thank you that you don't want us to stay the same. Thank you that you want us to change for the good and perfect will, which is yours. And I pray that we would do that, Lord, that we would lay down our lives every single day so we can look more like you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your son that died on the cross for us, Lord. You are worthy of our lives. Amen. That's it, guys. Let's be changed by the Lord. Yeah. There's still coffee left. Always a good place to start loving one another around coffee or a milkshake. But we've got some coffee here. That's it. Amen.